We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes. No.
No?
Sir? It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by
now. No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
Just look at that. He hit the four. That gets a free steak. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm having a blast. Thanks.
Good.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, a podcast where all movies are sports movies. I am your host, Kyle Bandujo, and we are into December. We have wrapped Avenger November. Big thanks to everyone who tuned in for those episodes, and big thanks to the patrons who tuned in to the Captain America Winter Soldier live watch. That is something that I think we're going to start doing more of, maybe one a month, doing a live watch for the Patreon and then releasing it as an episode. So if you want to support the show and you want to participate in those future live watches, join the Patreon. I do want to shout out our Big Screen Sports Patreon group. That includes our producer, Big Chill level patrons, Aaron Figueroa, Mike Schubert, Steve Rogers, Kevin Frost, Mike D, Ryan Yeager, Mike Drews, Chris Mikoski, John Craig, Sam Smith, Zach Rich, Class Tating Fire, Jason Alva, Stephen Bow, Dan McFall, Kevin Inkman, Mac Lindsay, Kurt Ritchie, Robert Dove, Andrew Teagle, Real One Balagoon, Jeff Essis, Anthony Scafone, and Taylor Logan. Biggest thanks to them and all of the patrons for supporting the show. The patrons pick today's movie. We are opening up with a Christmas movie in December. We are doing National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, talking Chevy Chase, talking Cousin Eddie, talking Shitter's Full, all that stuff. This one actually won in a three-way tie for the patron movie. We might be doing one of the other tied movies next week. I will say, because of the holidays, some personal life things going on that I'll clue people in on later, this might be our last episode of the year. If not, it'll be next week. We'll take a break for Christmas. We'll do a best of for New Year's and then get back in January with some new stuff. But big thanks to everyone who's tuned into Big Screen Sports this year. If this is the last intro of the year, if it's not, I'll see you guys next week. And for now, let's talk Christmas Vacation with me and Caroline Darney. All right, joining me on tonight's episode of Big Screen Sports, she is the co-host of For the Water Cooler from Bet for the Win. It is Caroline Darney. Caroline, we have reached Christmas movie season.
I have made sure that I'm extra cozy tonight for the occasion.
In your Navy finest.
My Navy finest.
Submarine cozy.
It's a like blanket hoodie with pockets. So it says comfortable as it sounds, folks. I'm ready to talk about Christmas movies.
You never know what you'll need to put in pockets when recording a podcast.
Well, look, everything should have pockets. This is like what my brand, like, especially like pajama pants, like, and the men get pockets and everything. This is part of the patriarchy. Women need more pockets, and so anytime that there's something that has like, this has like nice, like really handy pockets to it, where like I can put my phone in this if I need like downstairs, you know. And it's really annoying when we have like leggings or sweatpants that don't have what do I do with all of my stuff?
That's tough. Family? Little bag of snacks.
Just where am I putting the tater tots if we're pulling dynamite? So yeah, pockets and everything, folks.
Caroline, tell the folks what is going on at For the Water Cooler.
Well, we are actually on our, if you did not have a chance yet to go listen to the Sister Act 2 episode, which was super fun, That is up. That was the last episode that we did to end season one. So we have completed our first season of the show. We're going to be coming back in the new year. Don't worry. Unless someone tells us something in the meantime. But we are coming back in the new year. Super excited to launch season two. But with holiday and like travel and like different things, we're taking a quick little break. We're going to, you know, figure out some fun new things to bring out in the new year. Organize some guests, et cetera, et cetera. But until then, you can go to For the Win and check out all of the sports and pop culture content. A lot of Taylor Swift content, folks.
A lot of Taylor Swift content. A lot of Taylor in the news.
Love it. We love to see it. We love to hear it. And I love the, there's a new, I'll have to put my clown makeup on and write a new post. There's a new theory on when Reputation Taylor's version is dropping. So,
oh man,
she has unpinned the 1989 post on Instagram, and the last time she unpinned Speak Now was 13 days before announcing.
Oh,
so, and then it's something else where it's like 13 days from now. I could probably do the math. It's like the 19th. And then it's something else like 13 more days is New Year's, which is when a lot of people think that Reputation is going to want like drop. So, yeah, anyway, we'll do some investigating and, this will be the third attempt, I think, at conspiracy theories around when Reputation TV will be announced.
you have gone full Charlie Day in front of 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a tweet that was like, Swifties are that cult that is always predicting the end of the world and never gets it right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Pretty much. Well, I'm excited to see that post. I'm excited for the next season of For the Water Cooler, one of my favorite podcasts. But Caroline, last time we were on a pod today together, we were wrapping up Avenger November or Novenger, which went well. We did a live watch. We did Captain America: The Winter Soldier live watch. Talked about some bad wigs in that
you,
one.
Got apparently no one got to hear me on the fly, other than nine lovely folks that were in the group.
The patron chat got to hear you riff your Keith Morrison. They got to see how the sausage was made. I will tell all the folks here, when we get to the Keith Morrison category, every single episode right off the cuff, yeah, Caroline busts it out. It is not something that takes a long time. It is just boom, Keith Morrison. And the patrons got to hear how the sausage was made. We had a live chat going. It was a lot of fun.
It was a ton of fun. It was a good thank you to everyone who listened and joined in the live watch. Great movie choice, obviously. Your lovely wife Jacqueline was there, which was a ton of fun.
She roasted me for having not seen Mamma Mia.
Every time Kyle would try and fudge something, like, oh yeah, 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 that. She's like, don't lie, you haven't had that. Don't lie, you haven't seen that.
I feel like good. If you've listened to ABBA, you've seen Mamma Mia, but I digress.
We should
definitely. Yeah, we should I'm in. And we're gonna be doing, I think moving forward, we're gonna be doing more live watches for the live for the Patreon and the Discord, and then we'll post those as episodes. But
if you cannot do that as a live watch, I will sing the entire thing and nobody wants that.
I think that's kind of more incentive. But we did with that live watch, we left it up to the patrons to vote what they wanted to be live watch. We will probably stick to the same thing, the same format, let the patrons decide, give them a few choices, and go from there. This movie that we're talking about tonight was also voted in by the patrons. Pretty fitting. I will say it is part of a three-way tie for movies for this month. I made the executive decision to do Christmas Vacation as opposed to the other two. Two movies that we will probably do at some point, but I went with Christmas Vacation. One of them was Princess Bride, which I think we should do at some point.
Love that movie.
Oh, me too.
That was our snow day movie as a kid. Like, I'm always curious, like, for folks that like see it later in life, like if they didn't watch it first when they were, you know, 8 or 9 years old. You know, so I've had some friends who are like, I don't get the hype. I'm like, yeah, because you're 27. Like,
I don't think I saw it until I was older. Not like probably in my late teens. Like, mm-hmm. It was definitely like not a childhood movie for me. I love it. I think that movie is like perfect.
The To the Pain, Everyone who sees you says, "Dear God, what is that thing?" It's like one of my absolute favorite. And then when they did during the pandemic, where like Paul Rudd and a bunch of actors like acted out scenes of it and like paid put it all together.
Did like the it was at one of the live reading things.
They did like full scenes. Like Paul Rudd did the like to the pain scene. I'll have to find it. It's excellent.
What a joy. Well, yeah. I think we might have figured out next week's episode then. As voted
like Andre the Giant voice and
even better. I'm all in. Well, this week's episode, as voted on by the Big Screen Sports Patreon group, we are doing National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, the 1989 Christmas comedy. The Griswold family's plans for a big Christmas predictably turn into a big disaster. That's the whole
I mean, that's succinct and it's correct.
It is. It starred Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, and Randy Quaid. Directed by Jeremiah S. Chechik. Was written by John Hughes, which I did not know. Got a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes. 73.3 million at the box office. I believe the domestic box office. Caroline, you and I, we've never really talked about Christmas movies or how we feel about Christmas movies. Last year, I think the only holiday theme, we did the holiday. But where are you at? Where does this rank for you in Christmas movies? And what are your Christmas? We know you put up your tree to Die Hard. We know Die Hard is a beloved. I guess we did Die Hard last year, but where are you at on Christmas movies that involve the tree, the family, the holiday cheer?
So we were never like, I don't know. We didn't do a lot of. I've seen It's a Wonderful Life. It's lovely.
It's a wonderful movie. I don't even think we should do that on the pod. I don't want to make jokes.
Yeah, it's heartwarming and emotional and all those great things. Home Alone is fun. The problem I think you run into a lot of times with Christmas, like full-on Christmas movies like you're talking about, is a lot of the, like, it does skew on the younger side. Like, I don't necessarily need to sit down and watch Home Alone. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'll watch it every once in a while. I like Elf. Elf is, it's a classic. It's funny. That makes it sound way worse. Like, I don't like it.
It's so funny, isn't
it? I will generally stick with like Hallmark movies, if we're being honest. Like, I don't know. We don't have any like big family traditions where it's like, we watch all of the Harry Potters, like, or whatever. But I don't dislike Christmas movies. I like Last Holiday. I think, did we talk about that?
I think we did. I think we mentioned Last Holiday at some point.
Great movie. Extremely underrated. That's in Queen Latifah and LL Cool J. Love it. The Holiday is great. I like watching the like Ted Lasso episode. Mm-hmm. I'm not as good with like, oh, this is the Christmas episode of XYZ, because I don't know if you heard, I like to watch things in order. And so I don't just like plucking little episodes out. But yeah, we haven't, it's not something where I'm like, great, it's December, like time to bust out Christmas Vacation. But it's one of those, like, if I come across it, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll watch this. Like I think that's probably the best way to describe it. I don't know.
That's where I'm at. I think I've seen this movie 1,000 times on cable in bits and pieces, and rewatching it for the pod was maybe the first or second time I've actually like, I'm putting on Christmas Vacation. I'm going to watch it. But it's something that, like, when we go to my in-laws' place, it's either Hallmark or It's a Wonderful Life or this, and I'm like, okay, two out of the three of those for me. No offense to you and your lovely Hallmark movies, but I would rather watch this. In terms of like Christmas comedies, I think this is one of my favorite, because you're right, a lot of them do skew to children. And like, well, I have a 10-year-old, so like we have Home Alone on a lot. Grayson thinks the slapstick nature of Home Alone is very, very funny. We do the Santa Claus. I obviously love Die Hard.
Yeah, Santa Claus was, I mean, Tim Allen is having his own.
Yeah, Tim Allen having his own. Yeah, and also the concept of the Santa Claus, like if you kill Santa, you take the throne.
Great premise. I forgot, obviously, and this to me was a given, but we watch While You Were Sleeping. That's like our, like,
of course
everyone knows this, so
naturally.
I'm trying to think, but here's the thing, I always feel like I like black, I don't, you know, Miracle. So you know what I do love that I absolutely mess with are the old, like the trio of the old Grinch, the claymation Rudolph and the and Burl Ives Frosty the Snowman.
Yes. I will still
those. We were never really a like Charlie Brown Peanuts holiday special family.
That one is like Christmas Eve, have to put it on. I will say that's like the one.
That's fair.
The tradition, have to put that on. Same with old animated Grinch. Although I do like the full feature length new the Benedict Cumberbatch animated version. I like my Grinch like a little neurotic. That's I really enjoy that version.
I like listening to how much the narrator just rips into him in the songs, like in "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," like just bars dropped on that dude. Like,
yeah.
Good Lord, relax. Like, we get it.
He stopped just short of just saying that the Grinch is a fucking asshole.
Yes. I still absolutely love it. Have you seen, you know, there's the guy on TikTok that does the like reactions to old like Seventh Heaven episodes? Have I sent you those?
No, you have not.
You any of these with that? So he'll watch, he's like, I just watched this episode of Seventh Heaven. It was absolutely bonkers. And he like goes through the whole episode and just he's so funny. But he'll even do like, he's like, oh, I just came across this like old Berenstain Bears book. And he like rips it apart. And so he did that for Stop the Claymation Rudolph about like Hermie and like, oh man, I absolutely love, he's like, he was called him, he was like, he tortured the monster and like ripped all of his teeth out. It's excellent. But we still have like the Abominable Snowman, and why am I blanking on the guy's name, the Yukon Cornelius. For some reason, I don't know why, for some reason Busch Gardens has like partnered with the Rudolph folks, I don't know, whatever, but they
Big Rudolph.
Yeah, they always have like a portion at Williamsburg Busch Gardens where like there's it's always it's in the Festa Italia section, if anyone is familiar with Busch Gardens. I always go and I'll get the dogs one of the like Abominable Snowman plushies that they like then tear apart and like have fun with. But silver and gold, oh my god, I love it.
the best tweet I've seen this holiday season, it might be old, but I feel like I just recently saw it, is like, takes long drag of cigarette. Listen, if Santa knew if every kid was being naughty or nice, he knew those other reindeer were bullying Rudolph.
So that was the thing that was so funny about this guy breaking down the show, because he's like, look, I don't think it has anything to do with it being red, because then it does the part of the show where it makes that awful noise every time it goes. He's like, that is a migraine. Nobody wants to listen to that shit for the whole night. It's so funny. Yeah, he knew. How do you not know? Come on.
Santa plays things a little aloof there. But Christmas Vacation for me is something that when it's on, I'm always going to like tune in, because there are so many moments in this one that make me laugh. And I think are fun. I think it's like a good Christmas comedy that's geared a little more to adults, because there's fewer of those. Yeah. I would say I think it's an all-star Christmas movie. I don't think it's a Hall of Fame, but I do think it's an all-star.
Yeah, for the genre, for comedy, yes. Yeah, it's, and I would never lie to the listeners. It's been, I'm tired this week. And sometimes I think for some of these, like, you know, you don't want to put on a comedy if you're not in the mood for comedy. Like, there's certain things that, like, you have to, like when you watch Everything Everywhere All at Once, not a comedy, but like you have to be in the right, like, I'm going to see some weird stuff. It's going to be wild. Like,
you
whatever.
You have to be dialed in for that one.
Yeah. You've got to be like in the right mindset for a horror movie. Like, you can't just throw stuff on. So I've had like a long, so there are a few things that like normally I would have laughed at. I didn't laugh as much this time through. And I don't know if that's because I haven't seen it in 15 years or whatever, or 10 years or something, or if it's like just because I'm in a mood. But yeah, I'll give it all star. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking before we recorded. I think Chevy Chase, I think everything he says is incredibly funny. Like this, Caddyshack, Community, old skits on SNL. I find just his delivery and his ability to do straight-face sarcasm is incredible. Like straight-face comedy, he is an absolute king. And also doing the zany Clark Griswold stuff. And I found that on this rewatch, and especially just now, I identify with Clark Griswold a lot more than I care to admit. A lot of the same intricacies that he and I share. And just that, like, it captures that pressure to do family Christmas right. This is a trope that was used before this movie, was used after this movie. Families coming together, difficult thing. Like a movie that we didn't mention, but I think we watched for the first time last year was Four Christmases, and I actually enjoyed Four Christmases. Just like the hecticness of Christmas, and I think this one does it really well.
That's actually a really good point, Kyle. I feel like when you look at some of the other movies that are listed as like comedy or whatever for Chris, so like Four Christmases or Family Stone, have a real heavy part to it.
Oh yeah,
like it's not just like, oh how fun, like everything around the holidays is either like kids slapstick comedy, you know, Christmas Story, Home Alone, the animated stuff, or you go into like everything is wrong with having family around and it's drama. Like there's no middle ground for like Christmas. Which I kind of get, but also I like spending time with my family.
Yeah, this family is just pure chaos, and that's the theme of all the vacation movies. Yeah. Is this family trying to do anything is chaos. With this movie, you loop in all the different sectors of the family, which like it's a trope that works. I think it does it well. I think the way that all the different grandparents, and obviously we'll talk a lot about Cousin Eddie, I think that's done effectively, but it all comes to Chevy Chase, who I think is really, really funny, which is funny because this is a perfect segue to IMDb trivia, but seemingly every person who has ever worked with Chevy Chase hates his fucking guts. First trivia piece, even before cameras could roll, original director Chris Columbus came to the realization that he could not work with the difficult Chevy Chase after meeting him. So even though he desperately needed the job at this point in his career, Columbus decided to quit the project. He was worried it would end his career, but then John Hughes brought him in to direct Home Alone, which became a massive hit a year later. And Chris Columbus, I know him as he directed the first two Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, he did. I was going to say.
And a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, he ended up working out.
Yeah, but that's what always... It always stuns me about the career of Chevy Chase because no one has a good word to say about him. Him and Bill Murray hate each other. The cast of Community apparently hated him, and apparently like that's why he wasn't on the show to finish it out. Yeah. It's really crazy that he's just, I think he's so funny, and it's wild to me.
Yeah.
When Clark and Cousin Eddie are drinking in the living room, they're drinking eggnog out of Wally World mugs. Yep. Wally World was the destination of the Griswolds and National Lampoon's Vacation.
Was so National Lampoon's Vacation was first. Then did it go European or did it go Christmas?
Then European, then Christmas, then Vegas.
The amount of times that I actually, especially European Vacation in this one, that there are things that I quote still, is wild considering I don't have them high on a list of things that I would say like that I watch enough to like, but there's definitely, and we'll get to it with best quotes, but there's quotes from this that have lasted forever. Like,
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Along with an iconic Halloween outfit or
multiple.
Outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the only vacation movie not to feature the Lindsey Buckingham song Holiday Road.
Yeah.
Where are you at on Holiday Road?
Remind me what that sounds like. Holiday Road.
Damn it. Now I got Holiday Road.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's catchy. I mean, I would text you that I thought the Christmas song in this was catchy as hell.
Bangs.
A bop. Bangs.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm neutral positive on Holiday Road.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Good song. Yeah. The term Griswold house soon became part of the American and Australian vernacular to describe a house that is overly decorated in a gaudy fashion to observe Christmas. Carolyn, what do you think of Griswold houses?
I love them in someone else's neighborhood. No, I mean, like we never had like Christmas lights up, which I am the Christmas person in my family. If I am not home, like my parents probably won't have a tree up this year. Like, and my sister definitely doesn't. They actually will have both gone like small, like, light trees. Like, my parents have, like, a fake birch one that has, like, lights. It's very pretty, but it's not, like, a green, like... I did convince them to get a fake tree. We've gotten fake trees because we moved around so much and, like, living overseas, like, whatever. Just had a fake tree. And I've had a fake tree.
Real trees... Not just a reference to this movie. Real trees are massive fire hazards.
Yes, yeah. And I, especially like once, like we had the dogs around, and like I bet it would be, what do they call them? Snot, like,
yes,
the one that's like drinking the tree water, and I'd have to be like, stop drinking the tree water. So I was like, I don't need any of that. But I always want, like, I would have loved to have lights up outside. But we were not like a lights family, which, again, fine. It's a shit ton of work for like, what, 3 weeks that it's up, 4 weeks. And so I always like to go look at other places that have it, but it was not necessarily. I get very judgy. Like, I all of a sudden I become like a critic. Like, oh, you just threw them over the bushes, huh?
I do the same thing, even though I am the person, partly because of watching Clark Griswold, I pay someone to put my Christmas lights up. It's the same dude and his guys every year. They get them up in like 45 minutes, what would take me 5 hours, and I'm scared of heights. And then a couple, like a week or two after Christmas, they randomly show up at the house, take them all down. It's real quick. I'm all for that because I love having the house lit up. But yeah, between fear of heights, between just generally not being a very handy person, it is just better to pay the money.
Well, and I'll tell you what, it's a certain point when you reach a certain point in your life, and ideally it's, you know, it comes in hand with hopefully having a certain level of, you know, income or whatever else. So I'm not going to say that if you don't do these things, like, I understand that, you know, everyone's on a budget, but I will no longer move myself. Like, it's one of those things, like,
yeah,
when I hit a certain threshold, like, I will no longer move myself. So I very much am here for, like, if there is a task that you can pay someone to do more effectively for you, that is, like, within reason, like, you're not going to be like, let me give you $100,000 to put my Christmas lights up, whatever. But if it's like one of those things that makes sense, like, it saves you the time. That's where I'm on with this food delivery thing I've got going on right now. It's probably slightly more a week than I would spend in groceries, but I get back all the time from prep. I get back all the time from having to, like, deal with the leftovers and eat the same thing for 4 days because nobody sells food for
have a bunch of food that you didn't use, like, the ingredients go bad. That's a big, like, we have three people to feed, and that's still a problem.
I don't want any part of that. So it's one of those, you're willing to kind of, like, that's where you spend a little money somewhere to, like, make things more effective. I love that for you. It's like when you get a certain age and you're like, no longer, like, we don't need to put four of us in a hotel room.
Yes.
Like, no one's sleeping on the floor anymore in a hotel room. Like, we're get separate rooms. Yeah.
Yeah. Some things are just worth the cost. The last bit of trivia I have for you.
Yeah.
Despite acting as the husband and wife duo of Aunt Bethany and Uncle Lewis, Mae Questel was 19 years older than her co-star William Hickey. She was 81 years old and he was 62 at the time of filming. That's still back in the 80s where people just aged so rapidly.
She was 20 years older than him?
Yeah.
Wild.
She was the original voice of Betty Boop.
Oh, well, look at her.
Look at that. Look at that. Let's take a quick ad break and then we'll get back with what worked.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, we're back. Caroline, what worked about this one? Why does this work as a Christmas movie? I would say, why does this work as a good Christmas cable movie? I would say cable is part of the reason it works. Like, this movie works well for cable.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it has, like, really nice contained, like, set pieces, like, set comedy pieces. And so you get the, like, you know, the intro and the hijinks with the car and going to get the tree. And you've got the hijinks with the, like, family showing up, the stuck in the attic, the, like, you get these kind of, like, so if you jump in at a certain point with cable, the most important thing is, like, in, like, on ramps and off ramps, right? Like, there's, you can pop in, you can watch the, like, squirrel pop out of the tree and laugh or whatever, and you're like, all right, I gotta head out, I gotta go to the store or whatever. It's like, it's consumable in these, like, little chunks. I think that's why it works so well on cable, that, like, you can literally pop in at any time and you're not gonna, like, you're not gonna miss any huge plot points.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to diminish it, but, like, there's not a lot of plot to it. Shit goes wrong.
Like, yeah, that's it. And it's like, yeah. It's a series of comedy bits for the most part. But what it does really well too is it actually ties in some good emotional spirit of the season type stuff.
Yeah.
Specifically Clark's conversation with his niece, like Ruby Sue. And then his conversation with his dad at the end when he's kind of losing his shit, and his dad just comes over and it's like, hey, it's just your family's just going to remember, like, that you put in effort or whatever. Like, it's kind of surprising that the movie is able to make those scenes work. Cause again, it is a movie that is pure slapstick and has a guy emptying sewage into visibly emptying sewage into a storm drain and stuff like that. And I like that. I forget about those scenes, obviously, because, like, I'm more thinking about, like, Clark stapling his shirt to the house or getting locked in the attic or something like that. But when he's having the conversation and encouraging his niece that no, Santa is real, I think Santa's gonna have something nice for you and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, Clark, you're actually a good person.
Oh, let's not get carried away.
A good-ish person. We'll get into what didn't. Well,
we're looking at that woman's thigh in the store. We have a whole conversation about that entire.
Yeah. We will get onto that. I think it does a good job of just, we talked about this, but the dysfunctional family that it's, they're just odd enough where it's really funny. I think I will actually ask you, how do you feel about Cousin Eddie and the amount of Cousin Eddie? Cause I will say, I think it's, like, the right amount. I think if they would have introduced him too early into the movie and we would have had that for the entire movie, it would have been a problem.
I think it's just the right amount, maybe slightly too much, but only because, again, like, while I laugh at, like, shitter's full, like, it is pretty gross.
Merry Christmas! Shitter was full!
Like, a lot.
It's nasty. And
that is the feeling that he's meant to evoke, right? Like, and that's what works in the sense of everything that Quaid does in this, and the way that he acts him out, he styles him. I remember laughing with my dad over that white sweater with the black dickie underneath.
Yes,
that's when I learned what a dickie was. Like, my dad was laughing. I was like, why is it like that? And so I just remember having this moment where my dad's explaining to me that a dickie, like, doesn't have the entire shirt, so it's just the, you know, illusion of the neck, so that you don't have to wear as many layers. And it's just so hilarious how hideous it is, you know, like, and he's got the leisure suit. What year was this made?
This was 89. I wrote down the fashion in general, but, like, the dickie under the turtleneck, the jean suit he's wearing on Christmas Eve,
incredible.
Is unbelievable.
Absolutely incredible. His, all the delivery, and, like, now it would feel like they wouldn't make it this way, I don't think, but just, like, the complete, like, trashiness, is that the right? I mean, that's what they want. That's what they're going for,
yeah,
right?
Like, they are trailer. They're trailer trash. Like, what we call trailer hair trash.
With the mullet and, like, Ruby Sue getting kicked by the donkey that uncrossed her eyes and, like, you know, just they're a mess. Like, what did the wife say? Oh, he's like, where's Cousin Eddie? He eats these. And she's like, not since he found out they were high in cholesterol.
And she found out squirrels were high in cholesterol.
Yeah.
Eddie is so funny. Like, I think Randy Quaid's really funny. He's another one who, like, he has lost his marbles. Like, Randy Quaid, I think I talked about him when I did the Kingpin episode last year. Like, Randy Quaid has lost his fucking mind. But actually, I find Randy Quaid...
Independence Day.
Yeah, he's turned into that character. But he's really funny, and he plays Eddie so well as the guy who is just a little too dumb to realize he's being made fun of or being insulted. He plays Eddie. Eddie's like false bravado is so funny.
There's just even something funny about the way he put the like big bag of dog food on the yes. car. Like, I don't know why that is so funny to me, but like that stuff makes me laugh. And it's just the way that he, like, what does he tell me? He's like, Eddie, sometimes he's like, I think your heart is way bigger than your brain. And he's like, oh, thanks, Clark. Like,
when he finds out that his bonus is the Jelly of the Month Club, and everyone's like stunned. Oh, and then he just, oh, Clark, that's a gift that gives all year.
Clark, what's wrong? Honey. It's bigger than you expected? Smaller? What is it?
It's a one-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
That it is, Edward. That it is indeed.
I mean, the fact that he's dumb enough to be like, oh, he really wants me to go kidnap his boss and bring him here. it's the absurdity that you have to just, and that's why I mean sometimes when I'm like, I'm not in the mood for like the completely one of the things that I will tell you, like, and we talked about this with like destruction things. I don't like when everything gets destroyed, kind of, because I just now, I don't know if it's like as an adult, I'm like, God, how much would that cost? Like, what is that going to cost?
Let's kind of rack up what the Griswolds are looking at the end of this. Also assuming that they are probably paying some damages to their neighbor's house, because I do think this movie would be followed up with the neighbors suing them in civil court.
Well, first of all, there's definitely going to be some sort of like animal attack sue, like, for sure.
Yes. Yes.
Or at least paying medical bills for whatever damage the dog did trying to get the squirrel. And yes. Probably with the squirrel, but even though the squirrel, you could say, is not their fault. The tree through the window over there.
Tree through the window.
And they have at least tree through at least one or two windows at their own house.
Yeah. Pretty much the whole... The whole area where their tree was, because remember, the tree gets burned up, so that you probably need new carpet. Need new carpet because the cat, the tree...
Yeah, need new chair. Yeah, blew that up. You need to at least patch a hole in one of the bedrooms.
Yes.
You fell through the ceiling. There's probably other fire damage.
The post on the stair that he chainsaws through.
Yes, the door was kicked in by the cops. Oh, yes. That window went out too. Then they swung through. So like all the windows in the living room need to be replaced. So that's at least $10,000 for sure. Like, a lot of damage. A lot of damage.
The sewer line explosion at the end probably caused some damage.
Yeah. Yes.
Expensive Christmas for the Griswolds.
Okay, I'll get to that in the next section. The other thing that worked for me, speaking of the neighbors, 10 out of 10, no notes. Outstanding work from Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes.
I'm telling you, this is one of the things where it's like, why is the carpet wet, Todd? Is like something that is still in my brain forever. Forever. What is her name? Because he's like, I don't know.
Margot.
Yes.
This movie comes out the same year that Seinfeld debuts.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I love that. Excellent. It's again very silly, like and that's where the continual like fumbling and falling, I'm like, sure, okay, yeah. I'm sure that happened, but it's still the She was so good. Honestly, it's her. She's fantastic. What does he say early on though when they come out and he's got the chainsaw to like take down the tree?
Bend over and I'll show you.
He's like, how dare you talk to me like that? How dare you say that to me, Clark? I just love the delivery from them. Here's the thing. Why would he cut the tree that way? Just cut it in the middle.
He's Clark Griswold, and he's just he's a mostly well-meaning idiot.
Yeah. I will tell you one time, again, with the fake tree, it was taller than our ceilings in like one of the houses in Germany. And so like we just couldn't put the cap piece on, like the last pointed bit, whatever. And so it looked like the tree. And then my dad set it up where like he put the top in their room, like above where the tree would be. I love my dad.
That's a great dad move.
Yeah, it's a very strong dad move.
Something that works is this house. This is a great house. I love the Griswold house. And it's a time in this country when we were still making houses that were different, because you look at Margot's house and you look at the inside of the Griswold house and they're completely different. And now like that doesn't exist anymore in new build neighborhoods. Yeah. But it's like the classic family house. Like Clark Griswold, we need to talk about this too, definitely does well for himself at his job, because he's relying on this bonus solely to put in a pool. It's not like he's like, oh, it's funny. He's like talking about sweating money and stuff like that. But like, apparently all his bills and everything are taken care of, because he's just, this bonus is strictly for play.
I don't know if he's responsible with money.
That might be it too.
I don't know that this is like, we've taken care of everything else, so I want to use it for this. I just think he's irresponsible.
You just think he sees bonus and it's like, this should be a bonus thing for me. Like,
yes. Well, I mean, look at his friend, his coworker that was like, what are you going to buy yourself? As if like getting the pool for the family is like this selfless act on his part. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. I just think he might be bad at managing money.
That's like, probably it. Just in debt up to his eyeballs, but gets absolutely. This bonus. And
yes. And it's like, well, it's free money. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I love that house. Is great. It's the, you know, it's always, this is what the Griswolds have been anyway, but it's like the, you know, parental unit and the two kids, boy and a girl. Like it's the, you know, stereotypical American family that's just trying to get by and make things work, but nothing's really perfect. What's Juliette Lewis, right?
It's why they got two child actors who went on to have excellent careers, and Juliette Lewis and Johnny Galecki.
He is almost unrecognizable.
He is probably, I would say, the wealthiest person in this cast now, because I think that Big Bang money is like...
Actually, yeah. Yeah. That might be accurate. Also, I actually believe that he would save his money, because I feel like Randy Quaid probably had a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, Randy Quaid's money's gone.
Actually, you know what? Julia Louis-Dreyfus might be.
Oh, yeah. One of the two of them,
for sure. One of the two of them. Because I don't know what Seinfeld money was by the end, but Veep money and like.
I think Seinfeld money, for how long it's been in syndication, I think they're like.
Probably still forever good. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing fine.
It's a solid cast.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of the kids. They don't spend a ton of time. Like
no. The whole movie is a good cast. Between like you get like Doris Roberts. You get to me she's Ray Romano's mom.
Yes.
And everybody loves Raymond. But like we haven't talked about Beverly D'Angelo yet. Who
is that? The mom.
Yeah. We got a category for her coming up later.
Dude, that's going to be a really easy one, too, because I'll tell you what this movie is not.
It is
not a hot movie.
The exact opposite of all the Avengers movies we just watched.
Yeah, this is the absolute antithesis of that.
a lot of old men, but all the seniors, some comedic seniors in this, all the curmudgeon olds in this movie do a good job. And then it gets it right that... capitalism and your bosses are the enemy, the ultimate, like, don't show loyalty to your employers because they won't show loyalty to you. played by Bill Murray's brother, Brian Doyle Murray.
I was like, he's a character actor in a ton of stuff, but but I was like, I recognize this guy for sure. It's mostly his voice.
Yeah. Although when when Eddie kidnaps him, and there's a scene, he's in the Griswold living room and he's talking to Clark, and it's like the side view of him is like, he really looks like Bill Murray from the side. Okay. Let's get into what didn't work about.
Why are you putting in a pool in a Chicago suburb?
That's it. That's right. Look, you're going to spend the bonus on something that you're going to use for what? I'll admit, hand up, I've not been to Chicago. Heard it's cold.
So here's the thing. There are places to enjoy outdoor time and swimming and all of that stuff in Chicago the summer. It's lovely in the summer. Like, I get that. But it is just, I can't imagine having to really deal with a pool in a place where you get like so much snow, so much cold. Like, you probably have to shut that thing down by like August, late August. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I think let's spend $7,519, that's not what you should be spending your money on.
No.
It seems silly for Chicago suburb. Like, just go days to the lake. It's right there. Yeah.
Go on a good vacation, a couple good vacations. Also, yeah. Your daughter is going to college soon-ish.
And it was just such an, like, I'm like, bud, that's why I think he's not responsible with money.
That's true.
Yeah. That was my big, I was like, why are we doing this? That's silly.
He's a real spend it if you got it kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. What didn't work for you?
Eddie and Clark are not getting off at the end. There's just no way. He's not pressing charges, but there's just no way that they're getting out of that. You don't bring the SWAT team out to not bring someone back.
Honestly, the funniest part, one of the funniest parts of this movie is the cop being like, come on, man. If I had a rubber hose, I'd beat you with it. There's just something about like this serious moment where they're all like, the SWAT team's there, like all this stuff. And not only is his wife like, you cheapskate, like the cop that was there to arrest them for kidnapping you. I actually, as ridiculous as that entire scene is, it's one of the funniest things to me, because the wife, Beverly D'Angelo, being like, oh, it's our first kidnapping.
It's our first kidnapping.
That makes me laugh every single time too. Cause she's just over it. She's like, yeah. So like,
she's, yeah. Without, like, she's wine mom. She's not drinking in this movie, but she is clearly like, I'm just trying to get through this. Like, I'm just trying to get through this. I'm just trying to keep everyone calm. She's the best. And that gets into the thing that doesn't work about this. Also really doesn't work about the original vacation. Clark is perpetually horny and is constantly like taking things overboard. And his wife at home is a fox.
Yeah. And that's what, like, look, the message for folks to take away is not like, well, if your wife is ugly, yeah, you can cheat. Like, you know, but it's one of those things like they set it up in the quote comedic way that is like, oh, he's essentially in all of these, especially the first one, like almost the entire thing is like him trying to cheat, whatever.
Yes, with Christie Brinkley.
Yeah. And he's essentially the cartoon wolf with the heart eyes that like floats through the air after a woman. And you're just kind of like, hello, your wife is hotter than this. So that's just like, he just wants to cheat. Like, that's where it doesn't work. And again, none of this one
is like the girl at the diamond counter or whatever. And yeah, then the just like, yeah, and then just like imagining her at the pool too. It's like, dude, if you fucking relax, man. It's Christmas.
Yeah, it's very weird. Like, what is it? The 80s? Like, is it?
I think it is the 80s. I think if this was now, I'll admit, I didn't see the remake of Vacation with Ed Helms. I decided my time would be better spent doing something else. Yeah, I don't know if it was a remake or it was like a sequel and he's Rusty Griswold. I don't really remember. But I think that this aspect of the movie, if they were making this right now, would probably be cut out, because we need to just love Clark and all of his hijinks. And this, every time that happens, you're like, oh, come on, man.
He should be designed and written as the like spouse that's obsessed with this gorgeous wife.
That's the thing, that it's such an interesting choice, because other than that, you think nothing but endearing things about Clark. Like, yes, he's goofy, and yes, he seems really well-intentioned, just wants to give his family this perfect Christmas like he had when he was a kid. We watch him watch the video, like the old reel and things like that. And like, we should think that Clark is just this well-intentioned sweetheart, but he's like trying to fantasize about the underwear counter lady.
Well, by the way, ma'am, you do not need to show him the waistline of that underwear and how little lines it shows. You were in a store. There's
I work in sales, and there's not a lot of that in my line of work. She's going above and beyond. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy 80s. And I think that's where it's like, I guess in one sense, I don't know, I would say like it broke out of the trope of like, he's having these fantasies because his wife's a nag and like awful, whatever. But it's just kind of like, it would just felt so unnecessary. And it felt so, now in 2023, it just feels so like so macho, like the men like beating the chest, like, oh, I can't help myself except say like nipple and nipply and like whatever. And because a woman has cleavage, it's just like, okay, relax, bruh. I can't. It's just makes no sense. Also, she, like, never mind. I was gonna be like, she wouldn't be flirting that much with him, but like, I don't want to be mean.
gotta make that sale, I guess.
That's why I'm like, bro, you outkicked your coverage.
Yeah,
she's fantastic. Not just because she's gorgeous, but like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? Get it together.
She's getting through this holiday with Clark losing his fucking mind with all these different families. And she's just like, she's the constant. She's the rock.
You're up here. I need you down here. Like, and he's over there thinking about the underwear counter lady at the family pool he wants to put in. Come on, dude.
God damn it, Clark.
He would
and,
never.
And a diving board and a residential pool. That's a liability.
Yeah, you can't do that. He never would have gotten that tree out of the ground. I'm sorry.
No.
I know that's like supposed to be the comedy side of things, but like, come on.
They're going home. They
would have been there for days.
Where are they? How far did they have to drive out of suburban Chicago to get to that place in the mountains where they saw that tree?
Oh, forever. It would have taken days. That's the slapstick stuff that doesn't quite land for me, which is the like the truck, like driving under the truck and then pulling out from it. And I think they're trying to lean on Vacation there a little bit too much with like the road trip type vibes. I would have like, he's lucky she doesn't divorce him just for the constant singing in the car. Is that something that people's families did all the time? My dad was not. We sang in the car, but we sang to Steely Dan. Like adults.
Yacht rock only.
Yeah. But no, I just, when I do laugh every time where he's like, where he says we made good time. See, I'm actually laughing now more than when I watched it.
it's his delivery. It's that everything Clark says, it's either deadpan sarcastic or he is just trying to positive his way through life. Like, just, he is always trying to see the bright side until he finally loses his mind when he gets that Jelly of the Month Club thing.
When that tirade goes on, is pretty funny.
It's so good. With that, let's get into what we're calling now tentatively highlight reel, just the best moments of the movie, as opposed, because like this one with scenes is, it's hard to pick a best.
Like I said, it's just like skit after skit.
Yeah, with comedy too, it's easier to just do like moments.
Honestly, when they find the cat in the back end, that's one of the fun, because she's like, oh, she just gathers things in her house and wraps it. And then what is it? Is it Galecki that's like, can't wait to see what I got?
And there's one, this one's leaking.
It's the Jell-O.
Just from their arrival to Christmas Eve dinner, when it's not just when she's saying the pledge as the blessing, but when Eddie stands up, it kills me.
It's, again, like, at the time I wasn't laughing that hard. when he's like, is the dog okay? It makes that coughing noise. Like, ah, oh, you got it.
When kudos to like the effects team or whoever did this, when he like cuts the turkey and it just opens like the chest burster.
The one, I think I forget whose mother it was dipping it in the glass of water. Oh man, that did make me laugh.
Just a little dry.
Just a little dry. And it makes that like hissing sound, like as the air escapes. obviously shitter's full
iconic, the yeah. outfit, the shitter's full. I always forget that they show liquid shit going down the drain. They leave nothing to the imagination of what Eddie is dumping out of that tube.
No. I'm trying to think what else. The squirrel in the tree makes me laugh.
Just the arrival of Cousin Eddie when they show up and
with the lights. And he's just there and he's like, oh, what?
the RV.
The lights stress me out with this, and I know this is the point, but like the stacked like plugs. Stress me out.
It's so bad. Like all the, it's so bad. And that's the light situation is where the Chesters would start. They would contact a lawyer and they would be like, okay. Also like they can't be the only neighbor who hate the Griswolds.
No, like definitely the other side hates him. And maybe
100%. 100%. The locked in the attic moment, I wrote down just because this would happen to me. This exact scenario would happen to me. My family would leave to go somewhere. I would be locked in the attic, start watching like home movies or something. The
all
towel
of the outfits on, yeah. Like, gloves and stuff. Why would he be sitting on the like ladder though?
No, like, because he's Clark and he just doesn't think about anything.
Also, couldn't he have gotten out through the hole he made in the roof or the floor?
I mean, possibly.
Why did he stay up there?
That's a good point. I have no answers for you there. That's a good point.
Like, just slide through. Like, I don't know. You're going to have to patch that anyway. Might as well make the hole bigger.
The one major slapstick thing that doesn't actually work for me is the sledding. I don't understand.
No, does not work for me
at
all.
It's like it's in a different movie. It's where the movie truly leaves reality for a second and I'm like, why?
Yeah, that's one, because also this is the dumbest thing to be annoyed with at that, because it's just ridiculous. But he goes on like how long of this fast journey through the woods, whatever, and then runs into that dumpster and they act like they saw at the top of the hill where he went. Get out of here. Get out of here. They didn't see shit.
He went like six counties over
with like, why are we acting like they're like, ooh? Like, no, get no. Absolutely not.
I think the best moments are like, even this, the best scene is the Christmas Eve, the entirety of Christmas Eve, the Christmas Eve dinner, I guess, like from that moment, because we go Christmas Eve dinner, then Uncle Lewis burns down the tree.
Yeah.
Just when he goes and sees the tree and Uncle Lewis is just standing there smoking like nothing happened, like that always kills me. And then that goes into Clark losing
Christmas, right?
Huh?
It never makes it to Christmas.
No, it doesn't. I think we end on because it's he gets the thing about the Jelly of the Month Club, and then it's the kidnapping, and it ends on Christmas Eve. So we actually don't make it to Christmas and Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like a long last scene, but I agree with you. It's kind of like the set of skits that they do on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Can anything compete with Shitter's Full? Shitter was full for best quote.
Why is the carpet wet? I think I've said it three times. Why is the carpet wet, Todd? I don't know, Margo. I don't know why that makes me laugh. Shitter's Full is up there.
I like when he's talking to Ruby Sue and she says shit and bricks. He's like, you shouldn't use that word. Sorry, shit and rocks.
What are you doing up, sweetheart?
Rocky bit my thumb.
What?
Him's nervous because Christmas is almost here.
nervous or excited?
Shitting bricks.
You shouldn't use that word.
Sorry. Shitting rocks.
And the look on his face is so good. Is there another? I think it's like Shitter's Full is like the quote.
Shitter's Full is definitely the quote. But when when Ellen tells Clark, when he's like, how has Eddie not been able to get a job for 7 years? And she's like, Catherine says he's been holding out for a management position.
It's that. Stop. Catherine says he's been holding it.
It's so good. We already said the thing about him with the gift that keeps on giving the whole year after the Jelly of the Month Club. But Clark replies, indeed it is, Edward.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, I'm still laughing at the... You couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant. Surprised, Eddie? If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I couldn't be more surprised than I am right now. Oh, are you serious, Clark? Why am I laughing so hard now?
It's Chevy Chase's tone with everything, and Randy Quaid's too. When they're in the store, he's like, Clark, get yourself something real nice.
Oh, he's like offering to pay for it. I'm gonna get you something real nice. Where Ellen's like, Clark, I think it'd be best if everyone went home before things get worse. He says, worse? How do things get any worse? Take a look around here, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell. What? Oh my God. Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere and leave you for dead? No, I'm doing just fine, Clark. Oh man,
it's good. This movie's funny.
It is.
Movie's funny.
I think I was in a funk earlier. I was just very tired because I am nervous or excited. Shitting bricks. You shouldn't use that word. Sorry. Shitting rocks. What are you looking at? Oh, the silent majesty of a winter's morn, and the clean, cool chill of the holiday air. An asshole in his bathrobe emptying a chemical toilet into my sewer. Shitter was full. Ah, yeah, you check our shitters, honey.
It's definitely Shitter was full. That's the one that I think of any line in this movie that has been repeated the most.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh gosh, that we're on the threshold of hell is so funny to me.
It's so good. It's so okay. Good. Let's take a quick ad break and then we'll get back with the most athletic moment.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay. We're back. Most athletic moment. This category is tough when it's not a sports movie or not an Avengers movie where someone is just doing super cool stuff. But I think it's Clark not dying on that ladder.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Actually, the core strength to like push it back across and save himself is pretty good. Let's see.
The SWAT guys rappelling down the roof.
Yeah, not dying on the sled, but I don't know if that was, you know. Most athletic would be however they got the tree out of the ground.
Yeah, someone had some big boy strength.
Yeah, we just didn't see that part.
Man, I would, if it wasn't like bad for the environment, I guess, or like maybe if like you're doing dead trees, but like that would be a sick like World Strongest Man or like Pro Bowl skills contest. It's just linemen pulling out trees. Like who can do that? That'd be sick. I'd watch that.
One of my like front gravel area that could come get, because I think it's sending down roots. But
just call alignment. Man, that's a million-dollar idea. Business, it's call alignment. It's all former linemen who, like, that should be the new College Hunks Moving Junk or whatever, like the Movers. Like, it needs to be
let's
like...
Let's get Gojo on the horn soon.
Yeah, yeah. Linemen.
He's got it. There's going to be like a lineman network, right? Like, they all know each other, I assume.
I think they have a bat signal. Just like a thick guy bat signal.
It's amazing.
So I'll tell this story on the podcast. This is where I could have used a lineman today. So my neighbor, guy across the street, Clay, he's the best. I can see his porch from my office window where I'm sitting right now. And he texts me, says, "Hey man, is there a package on my porch?" And I say, "Yes." He said, "Is there any way?" He's like, "Can you keep an eye on it? Because it's, you know, my son's Christmas presents. Don't want to get stolen. I'll be home in like 2 hours." I'm like, "Cool, yeah, I can do that." I was like, "Do you just want me to bring it into my house? Because like he's brought in packages for me before." And he's like, "Yeah, man, sure." And I go over, and this package is it's like a motorized, like you know, like little kid, like the Jeeps, like the motorized, like power wheels.
Yeah, yeah. You can't lift it.
It's that. And so, and it's big, it's very cumbersome. And so they now have a video of me from their Ring camera that is me half lifting it, going, "Oh shit," and then dropping it back down. and then walking it over across the street to my house. So now I'm in the middle of the street. I've got this thing kind of on my back, wearing the same sweater that I'm wearing now. It's like slipping off my back. I'm like falling off balance. I know that anyone who's working from home is seeing me in the middle of the street drop this thing and then struggle bust my way to getting it back into my house. I needed a lineman.
That's incredible. I hope they went back and like watched it.
I kind of want to ask, but I don't want to see it.
You should do it again, like what Mike did. You ever see the footage where he fell off the treadmill at the hotel gym?
I don't think I did. I think I need to see that
footage. He got the footage from the hotel. Falling off the treadmill.
Yeah. To my neighbor's credit, he didn't know what it was. His wife had just told him that there was a package. And he said something. When I told him, I was like, "I've got it in my house." And he's like, "Good, thanks. You know, I'm glad, like, I don't want to have to worry for package thieves." And I was like, "You would need an army of package thieves to fleece this thing off your porch."
Yeah, it would have been funnier if you had to like text him back and be like, "Actually, you know what? I think it's I got a call and I think it's probably fine there. Okay, bye." Like, after you went over and tried to lift it, though.
It was so bad. Like, it was like the Southwest commercial. Like, I was in the middle of the street and this thing is like weighing down my back and I just like want to get away. So anyways, that I needed a lineman for that. We got to pitch Mike that idea. I think that's a million-dollar idea. Yes. Lenny Harris Pinch Hitter Award for Best Supporting Character.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I was going to say, the question here is Cousin Eddie in it too much?
Yeah, probably.
I would say yes. He's probably like your third lead.
Yeah, I think the kids are fine. I think the most of the parents aren't really... don't stand out enough. Like, I think...
No, Clark's dad... Yeah, Clark's dad gets a chance to cook a little bit when he talks to Clark. Of the old Griswolds, it's Aunt Bethany and Uncle Lewis who get the most shine. They're doing a lot of work on Christmas Eve, but I think it is Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Mm-hmm. Defend the villain. So the villain here, well, actually, is Clark Griswold the villain of this movie?
No, I think it goes that it's the business owner, right?
Yeah. So... also, he's giving them that bonus to not be like, I think he knows he's getting out of the situation regardless. Like, it seems like he's genuinely reached or realized the error of his ways, but he's like, "Let's do that plus 20%. If this was a bonus that you could put in a pool, that 20% is a very large number.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out, like, what we think. So we know that the down payment, whatever, was $7,500. So, like, anyway, I don't even know. So I was
I don't think Clark pays stuff in cash. He's probably taking a very high interest loan to put that pool in.
So we're probably, it's probably like in the range of like 10,000-12,000 is what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the business person defense, right? Where it's like, I'm trying to bottom line. Make money for the shareholders.
Yeah, he has that quote. I guess a healthy bottom line doesn't mean much if you have to hurt the ones you depend on. And it's like, yeah, that's a great sentiment. No business person ever in America says that anymore. Fuck my employees is more of the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. The Peter Gallagher Award for the hottest person in this movie.
It's Ellen, Beverly D'Angelo.
It's Ellen by a mile. Beverly D'Angelo is cooking with gas in this one.
Also, what a shirt for Christmas Eve dinner.
Jacqueline pointed that out as well, that the shirt and skirt combo.
Yeah, she's I'm telling you, she's a babe. Babe and a half. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, like, she looks great. I can't, I guess, like, Juliette Lewis was a minor in this movie, but Juliette Lewis later in her career, I've always enjoyed Juliette Lewis. She's very funny in the opener of Old School as well.
I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is pretty in this too.
I do, yes, yeah. And Julie, yeah.
It's all ladies in this one, folks. It's all ladies.
All ladies.
Not a lot of guy work in this one.
No. It's not. No, sure. Cousin Eddie, Randy Quaid not doing it for you?
Nope.
okay, drinking game. I think anytime something breaks.
Anything catches on fire.
Anything, fire, explosions, something in the house breaks.
Yeah. I think you like basically would like sip the entire movie.
Yeah, because something's always going wrong.
Just like a slow, lovely sip on your, yeah.
Chug the entire time that Eddie is dumping out the shitter.
Ugh. God, so gross. Because it's like, and I know that it's not actually poop. Like, I get that. But like, it's like splashing back on his feet and stuff. Yeah. Where I'm just like, oh God, so gross.
It looks like he's wearing like black dress shoes while he's doing it.
It's so gross. I do love that it like glows green later. I'm like, why would it be green?
Best time, worst time. This is one of those ones that anyone have a good time.
Eddie has a good time the whole time.
Eddie has never had a bad time.
No.
Which, like, credit to Eddie. Life has been tough on him. He's had to sell his house and all this land. He only kept 50 square feet for his worm farm or whatever he says. He's moved into an RV. Apparently has no money. Got fired from his job in an asbestos factory.
Can't find a manager position anywhere.
Can't find anyone to let him be a leader of men. And he's having a grand old time. He's loving dinner.
Yeah. He enjoyed the hell out of it. All the Jell-O he ate. Yeah, loving it. He got to kidnap someone. No. Just
casual kidnapping. Got away with it.
Got to date. Like, Clark bought gifts for his family.
Bought all of his dog food for the next month.
So much dog food. I don't know why that makes me laugh. Oh my god. I mean, worst time has to be Clark, right?
I think it's the neighbors. I pointed out tonight.
At least he got a bonus at the end.
Yeah, and he has the satisfaction at the end. He says, "I did it." Like, he thinks he gave his family this great Christmas. The neighbors were trying to have Roy Kent and Keeley's sexy Christmas. They had the little martini glasses.
Yeah.
They were trying to do sexy Christmas.
Reborn, and it just got, you know, they've got, now they have to hire lawyers. Like, well, and it looks like they're breaking up because, yeah. Odd's a real pain in the ass. She probably has, like, she's got probably going to get rabies shots, like, attacked by a squirrel and then a dog she doesn't know. Definitely getting rabies shots. Like, that's a tough time for the neighbors.
Most couples divorce over financial problems or children or something like that. Like, this couple was broken up because of Clark Griswold. That's tough. That's not what you want. The Keith Morrison Dateline episode from this movie.
Okay. Was a supposed to be a quiet Christmas Eve at the Griswold house. And suddenly, everything went crazy. Fire, mayhem, explosions, a kidnapping? Would they be able to get to the bottom of this and save the holiday tonight on Dateline?
Well done. Well done. And folks, she right off the top of the head.
I kind of like glaze over the eyes for a second and then reemerge as Keith Morrison.
Keith Morrison saying he kidnapped him in his pajamas?
Kidnapped him? He's like, then things would go off the rails. Like, I like doing, obviously I like doing like the intro bits. I love the into commercial break section where it's like, just when the police thought they had it figured out, would things turn on their head? Would anyone be arrested? Like, it's just, it's the best when they, like, then somebody came forward they never expected. His wife? Like, it's the most fun thing in the world. I can't believe you guys let me keep doing this.
It's the best. Never getting rid of it. Although, I've said before, it is funny when you're not on an episode and we all just...
Yeah, everyone's like, what do we do now?
Can't do this. Okay, roster moves. Who is Air Bud?
Cousin Eddie
is Air Bud. Is just barking shitters full, and he's got the little tube between his paws.
He's the sales attendant at the underwear counter. And Clark's like scratching him behind the ears. He's like, whoa.
So Air Bud is Clark is funny.
Just trying to figure shit out.
Air Bud trying to put up Christmas lights on that ladder.
What about Uncle Louie? Wearing a toupee.
We have smoking Air Bud.
Yeah.
That's a good one. The Big Chill.
The conversation with his dad.
Yeah.
That's like the emotional beat of the movie, but there's no chill in the...
Yeah, this is not that kind of movie. So then, before More Restore, prequel, sequel, or remake, we have gotten a sequel. The thing about Chevy Chase is like everyone hates him, but if there was a Christmas Vacation 2 or another Christmas Vacation that came out with Chevy Chase and it was like on Netflix tomorrow, I would probably watch it. I would be in on a movie. The thing with this, a movie like this, is that if you took like Chevy Chase, if you took this IP and he was going to do it, and Beverly D'Angelo was going to do it, which I looked and she is now 72 years old. But if they were going to do it and someone like, and then you packed it with like really talented, funny people, I feel like it probably works. I feel like it's probably funny.
Because otherwise, like, here's the thing I don't want. Because the other one that I actually, the one that I've seen the most when it comes to like, quote unquote, National Lampoon is probably Van Wilder.
Yes, that was a staple. I've probably seen Animal House the most, but.
Oh yeah,
Animal House is aged horrendously.
I don't even know how Van Wilder's aged, because I haven't seen it in that long. But probably also badly. But I'm kind of team, like, I'm with you. Like, if they found a way to do it funny, where like they're the grandparents now and whatever, potentially, I don't need a reboot of the same IP. Like,
no.
Need people to be funny and make new comedies and like do other stuff, but
spend that money elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't need to have someone else reinvented as Clark Griswold.
Yeah, I think when Chevy Chase dies, I think this character should die with him, because it's an iconic character.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I would watch a sequel or a reimagining, though, as long as he's in. But Caroline, We've knocked out our Christmas movie quota for the year. We do one a year. Maybe we'll do something else. But where can the people follow you?
You can find me at CW Darnie. Funny story. My cousin texted me and she was like, and she lives in the South. She lives in Alabama. She's like, one of my coworkers follows you on Twitter. He's a UVA fan. And I'm only telling this story not to be like, oh, people follow me, but because she goes, and then he said, she really seems to like MCU and dogs. And I was like, nailed it.
Got the, that's the resume. UVA, yes. MCU, dogs.
10 out of 10. No notes. So if you like those things, or any of those things, at CW Darney on Twitter, same on Instagram. And actually, same on TikTok, where I think I might start doing some of the puppy content.
You should. I have been the laziest on TikTok and have not posted anything in a while.
DIY content is still coming. It's not dead. The dream is not dead. It's just been paused because I've been very, very busy. And so the rug that I ordered for the office is here. Oh. The new green chair that I've ordered for the office is here. The shelves are here now. The mixed tiles are here, so I can like hang. So it's like pieces are in place. I just have to find the actual physical time where I'm not way too tired to like get up off the sofa and like actually go do it. So
I'm excited to see. Soon.
Yeah, I am going to paint a chair. I got some like nice black paint to do you know, DIY in IKEA, little whatever upgrade thing they call it. So yeah, all sorts of dog and puppy content and all that sort of stuff. So yeah.
Exciting. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. If you want to support the show and if you want to get in on future live watches, vote on movies for this show to cover, you can join the Patreon. We will be back with something next week. And then the next week after that is Christmas. So we will have nothing for you. Got nothing for you, Cap, on Christmas. And then so hope everyone has a happy holidays. If you don't listen to next week's, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.